great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to stretch every dollar. That's what we're about here. Coming up in just a few minutes, I want to tell you about a scam that is spreading through the cell phone industry, not the cell phone company's fault. I need to tell you what's going on and how to protect yourself. And coming up later, I have tried, under great protest, many vegetarian burgers because I eat a lot of red meat. I want to tell you about what's happening in that area and that maybe I was wrong about veggie burgers. Yeah, that's going to make the people who write all those Clark stinks about how I eat really happy. Anyway, this did not make me happy. New report I saw in Money Magazine that Americans are running up credit card balances so fast that the amount of interest people are paying is up 12% in the last year, 50% in the last five. Now, interest rates on credit cards have bumped up a little bit over the last couple of years, but certainly not 12% increase over the last year, and absolutely not 50% over the last 5 years. We as Americans, some of us are either personal tragedy will happen or some financial disaster in our lives will happen that could cause us to go into credit card debt. But most of the time, it just creeps up on us. Lifestyle. One thing after another that we buy, we're feeling more confident, and a lot of the caution that was so clear after the banking scandals and the Great Recession is kind of slipping away. And so I just want to remind you of this. Nobody ever got rich paying Visa or MasterCard 18% interest. And know that the interest rate credit cards charge you is variable. They can change terms and conditions on future balances when they wish. If you are in a business card, they can change interest rates essentially retroactively. And if we are in a time of economic slowing, credit card companies, the banks, want to keep making their same margins, and they'll squeeze you if you're running balances. They will squeeze every last penny out of you. So I want you to think about this by doing something that often you may not do. I find that most people who are running a balance on a credit card find it too painful to look at what you're actually up against. But on that statement that you get, either electronically or if you still get paper statements, you'll see what interest rate you're paying. It will disclose to you. And you'll see a disclosure box that's required by law that will tell you how many years you'll be in debt if you keep paying minimums. Most people running a balance will find that the number of years you'll be in debt is somewhere between 30 and 42 years if you pay only minimums. But then just below it is a second number. What do you have to pay per month to wipe out the debt you have on a card in 3 years? I want you to concentrate on that box. I want you to face the music, face the math. And if you're running balances, stop using plastic. Stop using plastic. And I have more suggestions about multiple methods for you if you do decide you want to tackle your credit card debt, strategies to pay it off the most efficient way possible on Clark.com. Michelle is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Michelle. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, thank you. Michelle, you face a dilemma.
Yeah, I recently heard how you discussed how bad 403s are for teachers. I work for a nonprofit hospital that has a 403B. The hospital will match up to 3% with the 403 if the employee puts in 6%. I currently put in 11%. My question is, should I be dropping my 403 to the 6% to get the match and then place, like, move my other 5% into a Roth?
All right. So that is a brilliant strategy, a very smart one.
Thank you.
And are you in a position to influence anybody in human resources at the hospital system about offering you as an employee a crummy 403B?
Probably not.
Okay. All right. And, you know, a big hospital system, there is zero excuse, because I see which insurer they're using. There is less than zero excuse for them using such an ultra high cost provider for the employee retirement plan.
Really?
Either somebody's not thinking or not caring or not knowing. Wow, those were three really bad choices, weren't they? Not thinking, not, that was cute too. Not thinking, not caring, not knowing. Because there is no fourth option. Okay. Why a major hospital system? Because with the roll-ups of the hospitals in major metro areas where they're gobbling up other hospitals, medical practices, and all that, hospitals now in most major metropolitan areas have a size that they can go out and design a retirement plan for their employees that would actually be a good plan. And so there's really no excuse for you being offered such a horrific plan. So you want to pick up the free money. Obviously, the hospital system cares about its employees, at least some, that they're offering a 50% match up to 6%.
Yeah.
So your 6 becomes 9. So it's not like they don't care about you at all. So maybe it is just the not knowing. And so that's why I would pivot exactly like you're thinking. Take 5% of your pay, delete it from doing the 403B, and open your own Roth IRA with one of the low-cost companies.
Okay.
Do you have a Roth already?
No.
Very easy to open. I have a guide how to set up one, how to open one, how to fund it, do all that. And if you just follow the simple steps I've got, you can have it open and set up for funding of it, and which fund you're going to put your money in. And usually under 10 minutes.
Awesome. Great. Thank you very much.
All right. And when you get to be one of the administrators of that hospital, you fix this.
I will. I'll take it on and I'll tell them.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. And, there's new news about this. Both the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate are working on parallel tracks in committee, trying to come up with new ways to do retirement plans in the United States, because the system is completely out of kilter. And we've got half of people in the United States who don't even have access to an employer-provided retirement plan. And both the proposal coming out of the Senate and the House, although they're very different, they both focus on that, but neither has had the guts to this point to take on the powerful insurance lobby that has ruined retirement plans for teachers, nonprofits, and hospital workers. And somebody's got to have the guts to step up to this powerful industry that is harming people's retirements who work at nonprofits and as teachers. Martin's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Martin.
Hey, Clark. Good to talk to you.
Well, good to talk to you. Martin, here we are. The home selling season has just kicked off, and you not only have already listed your home, you've already gotten it sold and closed?
Yeah, but make no mistake, it wasn't an easy process. It was on the market since early November, but it is over and behind us, so we're happy.
Well, that's good. Did you make any money on the home from when you bought it to when you sold it?
Yes, we did, and not as much as we would have hoped because of, it's a long story. I'll save it for another call, but we did just fine, so we're ready to move forward.
And this was the home you were living in, not an investment property?
Exactly right. That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, tell me, how can I serve you having gotten this thing? It sounds like it was an albatross for you going through the sales process. Now it's over. How can I help?
Yeah, it's over, and I want to be done with the house, so I wanted to get your input on what kind of documentation I can expect or I need to request from my lender and the city, the state, the county, you know, all of these different interested parties that show that I'm out, that I have no obligations, no outstanding debts, anything like that.
Okay, so you will get something that should be recorded, and most states would be recorded at your county, that will show that the mortgage has been satisfied. And so I would call the, did you have a closing attorney or an escrow agent?
It was just, I believe, an escrow agent with the title company.
All right. So call the title company and ask, what is standard procedure in your state for documents that you can request or that will be provided for you, and how they'll be provided for you, that'll show that the mortgage has been satisfied, paid in full.
Okay.
And I didn't realize how important that was till I was involved in a real estate transaction about 12 years ago, and things got gummed up because there was an old mortgage on a property I'd long since sold that was still showing as an open debt of mine that was obviously paid off at the time I'd sold the property. And it was a several day hassle to get it straightened out.
Okay. So that's you why recommend I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You recommend I go through the title company.
Yeah, go to, because they're the ones that did that paperwork. They'll know what the procedure is in your state for you to get the paperwork that you are going to need, and they'll tell you if it's normal course of business that you'll get it automatically, or if your state you have to go request the documents yourself.
Okay.
Right, next thing is, are you single or married?
Married.
Did you make a profit of less than $500,000?
Yes.
And how long did you own the home and occupy it?
About 4.5 years.
Okay, so you're in great shape. You don't have to have a lot of the documentation others would have to have to prove that you owe no tax on the sale of your home. So all you need to hold on to is your original closing statement from when you bought the home and the copy of the closing statement for when you sold the home that will show that you netted less than $500,000, making it a tax-free transaction for you selling the property.
Okay, that makes sense. I'll get on that.
So you'll be set. You don't want to know how it works if you have a much larger profit, but it's worth it because in that case you had a larger profit. But there's a lot more you got to do, and maybe another transaction you'll have in the future will be bigger like that.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Today's Clark Rageous Moment is a special warning for you. A simple way that criminals are trying to loot your wallet. I'm going to tell you a simple defense to protect you against a simple, complicated crime. That's a riddle, right? Simple, complicated.
Scams, ripoffs, outrages. It's a Clark Regis moment.
So there is a pretexting scam going on. If you're not familiar with pretexting, that's how most really successful scams operate today. So when somebody impersonates an organization or an employee of an organization, like any of the ones I talk about with people impersonating the IRS or Social Security or whatever, your bank. So there is a hot scam going on right now because on the black market, fencing the new very hot selling Samsungs or an iPhone, those phones are so valuable to fences that they're engaging in a crime where you are harmed and your cell phone carrier is harmed. And depending on how your cell phone company behaves, you may suffer more of the harm than they do. So what happens is you get a call from somebody who pretends to be from your cell phone carrier. And there have been multiple reports of this happening with Verizon just recently, according to USA Today. But I know that it's happening across the cell phone industry, not just for Verizon customers. So the person calls you, they seem pretty knowledgeable, calling you from customer service, but not really. And they tell you that you have been texted a verification code for your account. And it's because there's been problems with people trying to scam your account and that they need that verification code to make sure that no one has stolen your service or whatever tall tale they can tell you to try to get you to go to your text messages and give them a code. All right, so let me tell you what's really going on. The crooks, either working with somebody already inside a cell phone store or waiting just outside one for one of the major cell phone carriers, are trying to get a verification code that you really are who you say you are. And the person in the store will say, well, what is your one-time use code? And that was what was just texted to you. You give that to the criminal impersonating the cell phone company. They then in turn give that to the actual cell phone employee in a store, and your identity is verified. They may even have a fake ID pretending to be you. They then order out on your account the most expensive Samsung or Apple phones, walk out the door with them, and then fence them. Now, you don't know that you've been had till suddenly your next cell phone bill comes and you have a bill for thousands of dollars for these new phones. So if somebody calls you pretending to be from your cell phone carrier and asking you for information about your account, you know you're about to be scammed. Because why would somebody actually be calling you asking you for information about your account? They're not real, but the harm to you is. I'm glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less, and don't let anyone ever rip you off. So I am someone who is a meatitarian. I eat too much red meat by today's standards. And there are people who get agitated who love me about how much red meat I eat. And then there are those that post on Clark Stinks who are quite distressed and worried about my attitude that to some people seems flippant about what I eat. But for me, when I've tried, as an example, veggie burgers, I haven't really liked them. Till one that producer Kim was raving about and got me to try, that's called the Impossible Burger. And the Impossible Burger I found impossibly good. So much so that if I'm at a place that offers it and a regular red meat burger, I prefer having the Impossible Burger. And I'm shocked to tell you that. I feel like I should be in the Tony the Tiger silhouette from those Tony the Tiger commercials, that I'm admitting that something that vegetarians would eat, I would like. Anyway, so Burger King decided they were going to go right to the heart of beef country, Missouri, and, well, other cattle men and women might disagree with referring to Missouri as the heart, but Missouri's a big cattle place as well. And they're testing in Burger King the newest version of the Impossible Burger, and it'll be called the Impossible Whopper, $1 more for it. And cheap guy me, I would pay a dollar more for it because it really is good and it's good without the guilt. I only feel guilt because people made me feel guilty, but anyway, I feel guilt. And so we'll see if it will do well there in St. Louis is the initial test, and then spread to other Burger Kings in the country. I think about every time McDonald's has tried healthy foods that they get no unit sales for them at all. I'm talking about them like they're selling like box goods or something. But anyway, nobody buys the things. They've tried over and over again at McDonald's to try sophisticated salads. They were more expensive. Nobody would buy them. And one item after another, they've tried to sell. And it turns out their core customer, the people who are what they call in the fast food business, the heavy eaters, which isn't a statement about their weight, but how often they come in, that the heavy eaters are not going to buy healthy items at a fast food restaurant. At least that's what they think. Chick-fil-A has proven that partially wrong, as Chick-fil-A has deleted items from its menus that were not healthy and subbed in things that are healthy, like I forget which items. I think they have a kale salad. I forget what. Fresh fruit, things like that. They found a market for it. And so I think there's also more awareness today that even I'm talking about having liked a veggie burger. Anyway, there's more awareness. And so it'll be really something that I'll be so curious about to see if, in fact, people do take to the Impossible Whopper, not as a one-time purchase at Burger King where they sample it, but that they like it and they eat it again and again. So that's the deal that's happening. You know, when something starts showing up in traditional fast food restaurants, there is a change in attitude in society. But I'd say the bigger change are the quick serve restaurants, because it's happened a lot more with quick serve than fast food, where there are now a number of, I guess you'd call them regional quick serve chains around the country that are serving healthy foods. I do want to say something to you, though, that if you eat at one of these healthy food places, healthy foods does not necessarily mean low calorie. A lot of times, in order to make the food taste extra yummy, even though it's at least on the surface more healthy for you, they load it up with pleasing calories, and you just got to know that you could gain weight eating what you think is more healthy. I remember, this is funny, this is a side, I remember years ago when the big thing was the no-fat foods and all the food manufacturers were pumping in the supermarkets their zero-fat foods. And I still remember the woman who went on a Fig Newton diet because it was fat-free for Fig Newtons, and she gained like 62 pounds on her Fig Newton diet when she was trying to lose. So be careful of the fads. Michelle is with us. Michelle.
Yes.
Hi. How's it feel every time your phone rings? You think it's friend, but it's foe at the other end of the line.
It's driving me crazy.
Yeah. Nuts, isn't it? So I want you to make a non-scientific guess.
Mm-hmm.
Of every 10 calls you get, how many of those 10 do you think are from spammers?
9.
Okay, so mathematically, you're either a very unlucky person or you're just exaggerating, because the number now is 5 out of 10.
Oh, is it? Well, mine has gone up exponentially in the past week.
Just in the last week?
Yes, and I actually, yesterday morning, I followed through on their prompts to talk to somebody.
Oh, I wouldn't have done that if you'd asked me. Go ahead.
Well, 3 times I did it, and I got hung up on 3 times. But one time, the last one, I actually got somebody very nice. And I pretended I wanted to buy their product because I didn't know what they were selling.
So, oh, that's perfect. Yeah.
So he said, well, can you tell me what kind of insurance you have? I said, no, I'm not going to tell you that. He said, well, I can't tell you anything unless you tell me. So we got into this little discussion. I finally said to him, look, I'm an elderly woman who sits at home a lot, and I'm tired of these calls. So he said, ma'am, I'm going to try and get you on the no-call list. Now, that was yesterday morning. Today, I have not had one call. Now, did that work?
So let me tell you about the do not call list. So there's the federal do not call list that used to work exceptionally well.
Yes.
And legitimate companies would not call you. And people are not supposed to call you on your cell phone unless they have permission, but it's for home phones. And so the website's donotcall.gov. And yes. If you register there, legitimate junk phone calls will not happen. I have no idea what could have happened between yesterday and today that you're not getting the spammers calling you. I don't know if it's just an odd occurrence.
Might be a coincidence, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's coincidence. So you are talking about answering a home phone, I'm gathering.
Right, landline.
Okay. Wow, they still exist? All right.
Yes.
So anyway, with your landline, do you have caller ID?
Yes.
So simply, if you don't recognize the number, please never answer it.
Well, the problem is then it builds up your voicemail. So what I normally do, I pick it up and hang it up.
You can do that, but I find that I can delete those messages so quickly from my voicemail that
but
I like that.
How do we get them? How do we get? I actually received a telephone call from my husband on the phone that I was talking on. He was sitting next to me.
Right.
Three times.
Right.
How are they allowed to do this?
Caller ID spoofing. Well, it's against the law, but the technology is something that exists to stop that. But only now, reluctantly, are the phone companies starting to implement it. The first company to implement it is T-Mobile on cellular. And I think that there's going to be enough market pressure that you're going to see both cell phone companies and landline companies implement the technology that will eliminate the caller ID spoofing, where someone will pretend to be the IRS, as I've talked about, or whatever else. So it is a process. Right now, though, the best thing is, well, I assume you want to answer from your husband, but the best thing otherwise, if you don't recognize the number, just don't answer the phone. David's with us on the Clark Howard Show. David?
Hello, Clark. How are you?
Good. You have one of those good, bad problems, or a bad, good problem, whichever way you'd like to describe it.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's good and bad and mostly good. I'm also one of those educators with a 403B that in the last few weeks I've learned from you that they're not the greatest thing to have. So I would love a Roth, but as you know, between my wife and I, we make too much money for a Roth. So my question is, what can we do?
Okay, so on the 403B, I'd like you to dig in, particularly in your situation where your income ineligible for the Roth, to make sure that the 403B that you're offered does not offer you any low-cost options.
And how would I know what a low-cost option on a 403B is?
So they have to disclose to you, but insurance companies comply as minimally as they can with the law. They have to disclose to you what fees you're paying for the account, what fees you're paying for the actual fund investments you're in, and then what administrative fees you're required to pay as well. And is your plan administered by your place of work?
No, it's administered by a third party.
By a third party. All right. So the third party needs to disclose to you, and I would like for you to call them at the number supplied to you in your plan statements and ask the question, how do I find out all expenses that I'm paying having my 403B with you?
That would be great.
And if they don't disclose to you, call your state insurance department, and they will compel them to disclose it to you.
That's great. I have one more.
Oh, but let me tell you what would be a good expense. You want your total expense to be including the junk fees for administering it and on the funds themselves to be no higher than 0.70%, 0.7%, okay, which is much higher than I'd say to somebody with, let's say, a big company 401k. But I've got to add a little extra in there on the crummy 403b plans. But most people in a 403b plan may be paying total expenses of 2, 3, or 4%, which means that in a lot of years, your account, except for what you've contributed to it, will be worth less at the end of the year than it was at the beginning.
Very well. Thank you.
Sure. Now, what you can do, since you're not Roth eligible,
correct,
is you can do something called a non-deductible IRA.
Okay.
And it is what's referred to as a backdoor Roth.
Yep.
And you contribute to the non-deductible IRA and then immediately reclassify the money into a Roth. So you can, by doing one additional step, you can avoid the income limit that restricts you from doing a Roth.
And then would that be post-tax or would that pre-tax?
Yeah, it's all post-tax. You do non-deductible IRA post-tax. You convert it to Roth post-tax. And the one thing, you can't have money sitting in a traditional IRA and do this conversion I'm talking about. So that would prevent you from doing the non-deductible IRA. The one other thing you can do is you can open a traditional investment account, like with a discount broker or Vanguard or something like that, and put your money in index funds only, like a total stock market fund or something like that. The tax treatment is so favorable on doing that, it's not as good as a tax-free thing like a Roth, but it's likely the next best thing. Melissa's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Melissa.
Hi,
nobody,
Clark.
Nobody ever calls to ask me anything that has anything to do with Brexit.
This is scary, Clark.
How come?
Well, we're flying in and out of Europe next week. We're supposed to leave on the 12th, which is the day, I think, that the deadline for the Brexit deal is supposed to go down. And that day we're flying into Amsterdam. And then about 5 days later, we're supposed to fly into London. And I'm a little bit nervous. I have friends that said we might end up in a customs line for 8 to 12 hours. They don't know what's going to happen. And I'm just wondering what type of trip insurance or what we can do to try to, you know, help with the situation if we end up stuck somewhere.
How about the Clark Howard Insurance Company Peace of Mind Insurance Policy?
I want that.
I'm giving it to you right now. So Brexit is, if they do what's known as a crash out, is going to be very messy, but it's very unlikely that, I would say the chances are 0%, that if you're going this soon, that you're going to see any disruption to your trip or travel plans at all. It's going to take a while, a good while, before this all sorts out, but restrictions on the movements of goods and people, nobody's equipped to do that. And that's where the estimates are coming from, that you would be in a 12-hour immigration line. There was a story about what was going to happen potentially at the tunnel train, that the lines would be out in public streets a mile and a half long to go through immigration checks. All that kind of uncertainty and then leading to these kind of predictions or speculative numbers, don't worry about that a bit.
Well, that's good to hear.
The disorderly crashing, if that's what happens, if that's what Britain ends up doing, is mainly going to affect, at least initially, the movement of goods. And you, as a person, are going to find that moving around the continent and moving from the continent to England or to Great Britain will be just fine.
Okay. I've noticed that in some of the travel insurance policies, some have interruption insurance and others don't. And they ask for, like, receipts to show if you got, say, stuck in a line for 8 hours. I don't even know how you would get a receipt for such a thing. Have you ever tried or heard?
I don't know how you would either. I mean, the only thing you could do is maybe take a timestamp picture on your phone in a line and then show it as you get to the front of the line. I mean, I don't know what else you do. But of the things to worry about for us as Americans, just take a deep breath. And I promise your trip is going to go off just fine in terms of how Brexit might throw a wrench in it. It's not gonna for you. You're listening to the Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at clark.com and clarkdeals.com.